Moncrief on News Talk.
As you may know, Micheál Martin has been visiting China, and during a meeting with President Xi Jinping, they bonded over a book penned by an Irish author. The Gadfly is a tale of revolutionaries in 1840s Italy, which went on to be hugely popular in the Soviet Union and the People's Republic. And it turns out comrade Micheál has read it as well. Zoe Commons is a radio producer who's made a documentary about the author, Ethel Voynich. Good afternoon, Zoe.
Hello, how are you?
Now, how long did she act? I know we're calling her an Irish author. She was born here, but...
She was born here to English parents, George Boole of UCC fame, so Boolean logic. And the library is named after him. And also her mother was a feminist and a psychologist, and she was an Everest, so of Everest fame. So her father died when she was about 10 months old. So her mother brought the family back to England to live there because she couldn't manage here.
Mm.
So they moved back to London, and her mother was, I think what people would say is not great domestically, was really much more interested in being a feminist and teaching and getting involved in sort of intellectual life.
Mm.
So Ethel herself, she was very ill as a child. She had a skin disease, and the mother farmed her out to the uncle who lived in Lancashire. He managed a coal mine up there, and they thought the air would be great for her. It turned out he was a bit of a sadist, in fact, more than a bit of a sadist, and used to make her play piano for hours and hours on end, and then would sort of punish her and bully her and threaten her. So she was really traumatized by that, and then eventually managed to get back to her four sisters and mother in London.
Mm. And so, and back in London, and she was kind of, I assume, a young woman at this point.
A young woman, and she came back from Lancashire, and she was a teenager, and she was very melancholy. So she wore black. She always wore black. And she said it was because she was in mourning for the world. And she continued to wear black, even though she had sort of long blonde hair. So she was quite striking as a teenager and as a young woman. And even though she'd been sort of made play piano for months on end, or almost years on end, she still loved music. And when she was 18, she got a scholarship to go to Berlin and went to study music there. And she loved that. She was in the sort of heart of things, because we're talking sort of 1880s. So there's a lot of revolutionary talk coming out of Russia. There's a lot of Western thought, and she's at this sort of crossroads there. So she becomes really interested in anarchy and rebellion and revolution. And she sort of starts looking into things over there.
Mm. And so there is a story about what inspired the book, though it's, you know, maybe that's competing theories as to what inspired the book.
Yeah, so, I mean, Ethel Voynich's life is full of melodrama, and the book itself, The Gadfly, is full of melodrama. So after being in Berlin, she took a little trip to Poland and was inspired to come back to London and work with a lot of Russian emigres and start sort of pumping out revolutionary texts, and they would be sent back to Russia. And she brought some back to Ukraine and sort of smuggled them in. And she got involved, very involved in the scene in London, including a Russian emigre called Stepniak. Now, floating around London at this time was Sidney Reilly, who most people would know as Reilly Ace of Spies. And it is said, even though she was in a relationship with another revolutionary called Wilfried Voynich, even though she was in a relationship with him and called herself his wife and husband, she went off to Florence with Sidney Reilly, and it is said that they had an affair. Now, Sidney Reilly was a bit of a talker, so it's very hard to know whether what he says is right or whether he says is a lie. He was a bit of a scurrilous character. So his sort of escapades in Reilly Ace of Spies, he was asked about those, and he sort of recounted what seems to be the plot of The Gadfly. So whether he borrowed his adventures from The Gadfly or she was inspired by him, it's unclear. And I guess Ethel isn't around, so we can't really ask her.
Yeah. Okay. So, but so in broad terms, give us the plot of The Gadfly, because it's quite convoluted.
It is very convoluted. So it's set in the 1830s in Italy. So Italy at that time was ruled by Austria. It's all broken up and it's fragmented into little sort of kingdoms or states. And the whole revolutionary vibe is to try and reunify Italy. So you have this character, Arthur Burton, who's this young, naive, handsome guy, and he decides he's going to become a revolutionary. And he joins an organization called Young Italy. His mother dies, so he goes to live in a seminary, And he is sort of mentored by a guy called Montanelli, Padre Montanelli. So he's very, very close relationship with him. And it gets more and more convoluted, but his friendship is with Montanelli and he joins Young Italy. Also, a childhood sweetheart joins. Her name is Gemma. So we already have a few characters here. So what happens is he joins Young Italy and he's very idealistic, but he feels he's somebody sells him out. He's not quite sure who sells him out. He confesses something to a priest, and that priest maybe goes on and tells the state or tells somebody. Mm. And he thinks maybe Montanelli did this. Gemma also kind of sells him out. So he fakes his own death and he leaves his clothes beside some water and off he goes to South America, where he spends 13 years in South America. Now, we don't hear a lot about this in the book, but we do hear that he was sort of paraded as a circus freak. He worked in a sugarcane plantation. He was called the slave of slaves. He was beaten up by a drunken sailor. So all these sort of escapades. But basically, he comes back completely changed. He is physically, from being handsome, he's now this sort of, he has a limp, he has a stammer, he's got a scar all the way down his cheek, and he's sort of grizzled and angry. But he's sort of galvanized by this, and he is still a revolutionary. So he comes back and he calls himself Felice Riveras. So it's very telenovela. Mm. But he isn't Felice at all. He's very grumpy and not happy at all. And nobody recognizes him. But he starts churning out these sort of satirical pamphlets about revolutionary activity, which is kind of akin to, I guess, what Ethel Voynich herself was doing in London in the 1880s. So so this goes on and on and on. Eventually, the spoiler of this all is that Montanelli, the padre, turns out to be his biological father.
Yes, Luke, I am your father. That's where exactly. They got it from, Skyrim. Yes,
exactly. So, Montanelli decides he won't sort of back his son, he backs the church. Mm. And this really annoys Felice or Arthur Burton. And he becomes sort of more entrenched in his views and he dies and he's executed and he won't sell out the revolutionaries or Italy.
Yeah.
He just dies with his bitterness.
Now, the trajectory of the book itself, what were the circumstances at which, I suppose, initially became wildly popular in the Soviet Union or the fledgling Soviet Union?
Well, I mean, it's set in Italy, but I think it appealed to China and to Russia because they're communist countries. And this sort of ideological revolutionary at that time was the sort of pinnacle of what you should be. Mm. And he, so everybody read it. It was actually prescribed reading in Russia. It was on the syllabus, as in the Leaving Cert. So it was on the syllabus there. It was reprinted, 100 times in 20 different languages across Russia and China. And everybody read it. So the really interesting thing about this is that Ethel sort of went on in her life. She kind of, after 6 novels, she stopped writing. And then she went to become a composer and she composed hundreds of pieces of choral music and cantatas and all sorts of things and moved to New York with her husband and they sold rare books. But she had no idea because of the Cold War that her books were famous in Russia. Huh. She had no concept whatsoever. So she lived for 30 odd years in Russia or in New York in an apartment. And it was only after the Cold War and in 1955, in fact, that a translator wrote a book about her. There'd been film adaptations of The Gadfly. Shostakovich had written The Gadfly Suite. There'd been plays. It was on the syllabus and she still had no concept. And a translator came to find her when she was writing a book and came to find her and told her, "Do you know you're famous in Russia?" And at this stage, she was 94. She had no concept. So they arranged, I think sort of embarrassed Russia, arranged for her to get a few quid because she'd received no royalties. Mm. They arranged for her to get $15,000, which isn't a huge amount, probably not what she deserved from being in print for that many years. But she got recognition at the very, very end. And and front page of Pravda said, Voynich lives. So they were all surprised in Russia that she was alive.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. And even though she didn't spend that long in Ireland, it seems like she did identify as Irish.
She did, absolutely. And she came back a little bit in her early years and came back and forth. And I think that to hear, it was here that she sort of started reading about revolutionaries as well.
Yeah.
But her book was actually banned here.
Oh, was it?
In 1947, it was banned here because of its very anti-Catholic stance, you know. Mm. So it was banned, and so people didn't really read it here.
Yeah, that's really news. And in Italy, how did it do?
I think that, you know, in the same way that some people say you can write the streets of Dublin from Ulysses, some people identify that period really with that book in that the characters and the situation are really reminiscent of what happened in this sort of resurgence period in Italian history, although my Italian history isn't great, so I couldn't verify that.
Yeah. Were there any film adaptations of it? Or?
There was a film adaptation in 1955 in Russia, but not here. Yeah. And it's really ripe for a series. I mean, her life, apart from that, is kind of interesting, not just the Russian going to Russia, not just being in London during this sort of really interesting period. But her and her husband also had a really interesting life in that he was a rare book dealer. And he bought eventually during the war in sort of shady circumstances, bought a manuscript called, now called, the Voynich Manuscript, which is one of the most indecipherable manuscripts that exist. It's a whole lot of drawings of botanical drawings, medicinal recipes, and a codex that nobody, no mathematician, no codebreaker has ever been able to identify what it means. And it's about 600 years old.
And where does it originate from?
Well, there's so many theories about it. I mean, if you want to do a deep dive on the internet into the Voynich manuscript, you probably lose about a decade of your life, I would say. But at the moment, it itself is in Yale University because it was sold after her death.
Yeah. That's absolutely fascinating. Not just the book, but the woman as well. Zoe, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today. That was a writer, radio producer and creator of the Lyric MM documentary, Ethel Voynich, Music, Mystery and Manuscripts.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.